In Los Angeles, I'm Molly Wood, in for Kai Rizdahl. Earlier in the show, we talked about finding the right CEO, and when those would-be CEOs think about who they want to be just like when they grow up, a lot of them would probably say Steve Jobs. The Apple co-founder and CEO is often held up as the model of a great leader who built a great company. Well, a new movie, Steve Jobs, Man and the Machine, opens tomorrow in theaters and on demand. In it, director Alex Gibney argues that, in fact, Steve Jobs got away with a lot because of his success. Things like massive tax avoidance at Apple, worker abuses in China, and a ruthless win-at-all-costs attitude that maybe we shouldn't be celebrating. Kai Rizdahl sat down with Alex Gibney to talk about the film, and here's that conversation.
There is no shortage of material on Steve Jobs, books, movies. What were you after in this film?
It was just a peculiar kind of question I had, which was when Steve Jobs died, all around the world, people were weeping. And that's rare for a big CEO, particularly the CEO of the highest valued corporation in the world. So I was curious as to why. And that led me down a path, which was the story.
The story is obviously of a man, complicated, interesting, curious kind of guy. Also the story, though, of this company that has become, I mean, you can't turn around.
Right.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Way back when, they did an ad, the famous 1984 mm-hmm. ad that was aired during the Super Bowl, and they were kind of David to IBM's Goliath. Well, today, Apple has become Goliath.
You know, it's interesting because there is that very famous, besides the ad, there's that picture of Jobs standing in front of the IBM sign giving it the finger.
That's right.
And I wonder how well you think he made the transition from iconoclast to icon.
I think he made it very well, except when it came to his values. Because at the end of the day, I think he was still giving the finger, though it's a different thing when you're the underdog and giving the finger to Goliath. When you're Goliath and you start giving the finger, you wonder, to whom is he giving the finger now?
He got away with so much.
Yes.
Because he created this stuff
mm-hmm.
that to us is warm in our hands and occupies our minds. Did we let him get away with it?
We did. Not only we as consumers, you know, when it comes to the Think Different campaign,
mm-hmm.
which represented a value system that, judging from the commercials, would have had us endorsing Rosa Parks, Mahatma Gandhi,
and Einstein,
Martin Luther King. But also the SEC, for example, I think looked the other way with some very sketchy dealings over at Apple, particularly in terms of the stock option mm-hmm. backdating that was done, and then also the non-poaching agreements that he engaged in with other globe-girdling companies like Google.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is stuff that, you know, we put people in jail for 20 years for stealing TV sets. And yet, because he was famous and the great Steve Jobs, there was a level of malfeasance that was tolerated because he was who he was.
The thing that I was waiting for in this movie that has come out in much of the other material about Steve Jobs, in Walter Isaacson's book, it's there for a little bit, and in some other books, is was Steve Jobs the word I can't say on public radio? And while you get to some of his prevarications and his idiosyncrasies and you know, treating other people not great, I wonder why you didn't just come out and say, listen, this guy was a thing we can't say on public radio.
Well, one person, one of his early friends, does say it. He says, what kind of word you can't say on the radio do you have to be to be successful? And I think that is the big question that a lot of people are asking, because there are a lot of people in Silicon Valley who took it as writ that you had to be that word that we can't say on public radio in order to be successful. I don't think it's true. I think people made excuses for him because he was successful, for being the kind of guy who he could occasionally be. I should say he could also be very charming. You know, he was very conscious about human psychology, and if he thought charm would get him what he wanted, then he would use charm. If he thought it wouldn't, then he'd insult and vilify you.
At the end of the film, you circle back to your question about, you know, what was it that made people weep, basically, and you question these are your words, the full nature of the transaction that we made with the maker of this machine.
I think it's interesting because he is all tied up with us. I think one of the reasons we wept was that he was our guide in this journey to become more intimate with our machines, particularly our computers. And so he was the personification of that long relationship that we had, in a way, with our own growing reliance and advocacy for these machines being part of our lives. So I think that it's that negotiation between the machine that he was very much responsible for, and I think that's one of the reasons why we wept.
Do you now look at your – you've got an iPhone 6 in your pocket, right?
I do.
Do you look at it differently now after making
this
one?
I do. I look at it a bit more as a machine. I tend to see more of its flaws. At the same time, I admit I like its pretty surface. I like its Zen-like black display. Yeah. And there are certain aspects of it that that I find hard to give up. That's the problem with the consumer junkie in all of us.
It's a film called The Man and the Machine about Steve Jobs by Alex Gibney. Alex, thanks very much.
Thanks, Kai.